Welcome to Walk in the Shadows with me, your host, Tim Woolworth. You were probably expecting episode 4 of our vampire series today. Unfortunately, sickness has sucked the life out of our production team. As a result, episode 4 will be released on our regular schedule 2 Wednesdays from now. But since you're a loyal listener, we wanted to make sure that we had new audio for you to listen to today. Therefore, we are releasing some bonus content. Normally, this content is reserved for those who've entered our Shadow Realm. The Vampire series will return soon. So until then, we hope that you'll enjoy this bonus content. Welcome to your bonus episode 1 for our vampire series. This exclusive episode, like all other bonus content, is possible because of the generosity of shadow people like yourself. I want to thank you for that. Every dollar means a lot because it brings us one step closer to reaching our goal of being able to churn out high quality, well-researched content for you on a weekly basis rather than our bi-weekly schedule. So thank you for your continued support. This episode dovetails with the vampire story from episode 1, Magia Postuma, of our vampire series. In that episode, we covered the case of Arnold Pavel. If you recall, Pavel was attacked by a vampire, but performed a ritual to ward off continued attacks. He then fell off a hay wagon, died, and was buried. A couple weeks later, his phantom-like vampire form attacked several people. 4 of them died. After his death, Pavel and the 4 victims were dug up and disposed of as befitting an 18th century vampire. A few years passed. Then in 1731, 17 people died in Medvegia, just north of Belgrade. Nobody paid it much heed as diseases ran rampant in the area before modern medicine. Then a young girl, Stanaka, said that a recently deceased man named Milo had appeared in a room and throttled her. The problem was that Milo had been dead for 9 weeks. When word reached Vienna about these attacks, the Austrian Emperor dispatched a regimental field surgeon named Johann Flückiger to follow up on the reports. The officer was sent with hopes of finding out what was the cause of the deaths so more dying could be prevented. Traveling with Flückiger were 4 medical officers. They wrote up their report for their commander. This report was named
Visum et Repertum,
which translates to
seen and discovered.
In the end, 40 recently deceased villagers were disinterred, and 13 bodily descriptions were written about by the medical team. Of the 40 exhumed, those that show normal decomposition were laid back to rest. The ones found in a vampiric condition underwent a vampiric disposal. They were staked, decapitated, the bodies burned, and the ash thrown into a local river. Being through this twice already, the villagers felt that every precaution was needed to prevent vampires from coming back. The following is Flückiger's report. It was presented to the Austrian Emperor in 1732. The account became world famous, as it sold copies throughout Europe, and the events were reported in papers in faraway countries like England and France. You will hear the term Hajduk a lot in the following write-up. In this context, the Hajduks were volunteer fighters who engaged in guerrilla warfare in fighting off the Turks.
After it had been reported in the village of Medvegia, near Belgrade, that so-called vampires had killed some people by sucking their blood, I was, by high decree of a local honorable supreme command, sent there to investigate the matter thoroughly, along with officers detailed for that purpose and 2 subordinate medical officers, and therefore carried out and heard the present inquiry in the company of the captain of the Stalath Company of Hajduks, Hadnak Gorshes, the standard bearer and oldest Hyduk in the village. They reported unanimously as follows.
About 5 years ago, a local Hyduk named Arnold Pavel broke his neck in a fall from a hay wagon. This man had, during his lifetime, often described how Nirgosova in Turkish Serbia had been troubled by a vampire, wherefore he had eaten from the earth of the vampire's grave and had smeared himself with vampire's blood in order to be free of the vexation he had suffered. In 20 or 30 days after his death, some people complained that they were being bothered by the same Arnold Pavel. In fact, 4 people were killed by him. In order to end this evil, they dug up Arnold Pavel 40 days after his death. This on the advice of their Hadnak, who had been present at such events before, and they found that he was quite complete and undecayed, and that fresh blood had flowed from his eyes, nose, mouth, and ears, that the shirt, the covering, and the coffin were completely bloody, that the old nails on his hands and feet, along with the skin, had fallen off, and that new ones had grown. And since they saw from this that he was a true vampire, they drove a stake through his heart, according to their custom, whereupon he gave an audible groan and bled copiously. Thereupon, they burned the body to ashes the same day and threw those ashes into the grave. These same people also say that all those who have been tormented and killed by vampires must themselves become vampires. Therefore, they disinterred the above-mentioned 4 people in the same way. Then they also add this same Arnold Pavel attacked not only people, but cattle, and sucked out their blood. And since some people ate the flesh of such cattle, it would appear that some vampires are again present here, inasmuch as in a period of 3 months, 17 young and old people died, among them some who, with no previous illness, died in 2 or at most 3 days. In addition, the Hyduk Jovica reports that his stepdaughter, by name Stanaka, lay down to sleep 15 days ago, fresh and healthy, but that at midnight she started up out of her sleep with a terrible cry, fearful and trembling, and complained that she had been throttled by the son of a Hyduk named Milo, who had died 9 weeks earlier, whereupon she had experienced a great pain in the chest and became worse hour by hour until she finally died on the 3rd day. At this, we went the same afternoon to the graveyard, along with the aforementioned oldest Hyduks of the village, in order to cause the suspicious graves to be opened and to examine the bodies in them, whereby, after all of them had been exhumed and dissected, the following was found.
1.
A woman by the name of Stana, 20 years old, who had died in childbirth 2 months ago after a 3-day illness, and who had herself said before her death that she had painted herself with the blood of a vampire, wherefore both she and the child, which had died soon after birth and through careless burial had been half eaten by dogs, must also become vampires. She was quite complete and undecayed. After the opening of the body, there was found in the cavitae pectoris a quantity of fresh extravascular blood. The vessels of the arteriae, like the ventriculus cordis, were not, as is usual, filled with coagulated blood, and the whole viscera, that is, the lung, liver, stomach, spleen, and intestines, were quite fresh, as they would be in a healthy person. The uterus was, however, quite enlarged and inflamed externally, for the placenta and the lochia had remained in place, wherefore the same was in complete putrefaction. The skin on her hands and feet, along with the old nails, fell away on their own, but on the other hand, completely new nails were evident along with a fresh and vivid skin.
2.
There was a woman by the name of Milica, 60 years old, who had died after a 3-month sickness and had been buried 90 or so days earlier. In the chest, much liquid blood was found, and the other viscera were, like those mentioned above, in good condition. During her dissection, all the Hyduks who were standing around marveled greatly at her plumpness and perfect body, uniformly stating that they had known the woman well from her youth, and that she had throughout her life been very lean and dried up. They emphasized that she had come to surprising plumpness in the grave. They also said that it was she who started the vampires this time, because she had been eating the flesh of those sheep who had been killed by previous vampires.
3.
There was an 80-day-old child which had lain in the grave for 90 days, and which was also in the condition of vampirism.
4.
The son of a Hyduk, 16 years old, named Milo, was dug up, having lain in the earth for 9 weeks, after he had died from a 3-day illness, and was found to be like other vampires. This is obviously the vampire who would attack the stepdaughter of the Hyduk Jovitsa.
5.
Joachim, also the son of a Hyduk, 17 years old, had died after a 3-day illness. He had been buried 8 weeks and 4 days, and, on being dissected, was found in similar condition.
6.
A woman by the name of Rushka, who had died after a 10-day illness and had been buried 6 weeks earlier, in whom there was much fresh blood, not only in the chest, but also in the fundo ventriculi. The same showed itself in her child, which was 18 days old and had died 5 weeks earlier.
7.
No less did a girl of 10 years of age, who had died 2 months previously, find herself in the above-mentioned condition, quite complete and undecayed, and had much fresh blood in her chest.
8.
They caused the wife of the Hanak to be dug up, along with her child. She had died 7 weeks earlier. Her child, who was 8 weeks old, 21 days previously, and it was found that the mother and the child were completely decomposed, although earth and grave were like those of the vampires lying nearby.
9.
A servant of the local corporal of the Hyduks, by the name of Rod, 23 years old, died after a 3-month illness, and after being buried 5 weeks, was found completely decomposed.
10.
The wife of a local standard bearer, along with her child, were also found completely decomposed.
11.
With Stanch, a Hyduk, 60 years old, had died 6 weeks previously. I noticed a profuse liquid blood, like the others, in the chest and stomach. The entire body was in the above-mentioned condition of vampirism.
12.
Milo, a Hyduk, 25 years old, who had lain for 6 weeks in the earth, was also found in the condition of vampirism.
13.
Stanaka, the wife of a Hyduk, 23 years old, died after a 3-day illness and had been buried 18 days earlier. In the dissection, I found that her countenance was quite red and of a vivid color. As was mentioned above, she had been throttled at midnight by Milo, the son of a Hyduk, and there was to be seen, on the right side under the ear, a bloodshot blue mark the length of a finger, demonstrating that she had been throttled. As she was being taken out of the grave, a quantity of fresh blood flowed from her nose. With the dissection I found, as so often mentioned already, a regular fragrant fresh bleeding, not only in the chest cavity, but also in the heart ventricle. All the viscera were found in completely good and healthy condition. The skin of the entire body, along with the nails on the hands and feet, were as though completely fresh. After the examination had taken place, the heads of the vampires were cut off by the local gypsies and then burned along with the bodies, after which the ashes were thrown into the river Mareva. The decomposed bodies, however, were laid back in their own graves, which I attest along with those medical officers provided for me. Johann Flukinger, Regimental Medical Officer of the Foot Regiment of the Honorable B. Furstenbusch, Medical Officer of the Honorable Morale Regiment, Johann Friedrich Baumgarten, Medical Officer of the Foot Regiment of the Honorable B. Furstenbusch. The undersigned attest herewith that all which the regiment medical officer of the Honorable Furstenbusch had observed in the matter of vampires, along with both medical officers who signed with him, is in every way truthful and has been undertaken, observed, and examined in our presence. In confirmation thereof is our signature in our own hand, of our own making, Belgrade, January 26th, 1732. Butener, Lieutenant Colonel of the Honorable Alexandrian Regiment. J. H. Van Lindenvels, Officer of the Honorable Alexandrian Regiment. The report I just read demonstrated that there were some weird goings-on around Belgrade 3 centuries ago. The state of the bodies raises some really interesting questions. How could a body buried 5 weeks prior be completely decomposed, whereas one laying in the ground several months was perfectly preserved? Death is a well-observed phenomenon. For as long as we have lived, we have died. In the years before embalming became commonplace, a body was typically laid out in the home for 1 to 3 days for family and friends to pay respect. And then it was quickly buried due to the way the body breaks down. We know what happens to a body after the last breath of life leaves its lips. It only takes minutes for bacteria in the body to begin breaking down cells. Over the course of a few short days, the blood cells break down and settle to the lower part of the body. Within 4 to 5 days, the major organs start to break down and liquefy as the bacteria eat them. The end result is a mix of gases that cause exceptional bloating that will eventually burst the abdomen or other soft areas in an explosive release. By 7 days after death, the top layer of skin detaches. After 3 weeks, the hair and nails fall out. Therefore, the state of these vampires is truly odd. After several weeks, the skin still shows ruddiness, the organs still solid, and apparently there is fresh blood. It is biologically impossible for there to be fresh blood in the chest, especially with preserved organs. The famed esoteric author, Colin Wilson, had an observation upon the written testimonial of the 5 Austrian officers. He observed that
vampires were obviously not able to get up and walk out of their graves, since they were sealed in their coffins.
But yet, Stenaka was attacked by the vampire Milo to the point where his throttling left a mark on her neck. There is also numerous reports of a 3-day illness for so many of the vampires who were disinterred.
It sounds as if the vampire is draining their vitality, not their blood. This would, of course, produce a feeling of suffocation or throttling, causing them to die of exhaustion.
With the preserved state of the bodies, well after death, we are forced to wonder, were these recently deceased biological wonders? Or were they truly undead? This bonus content was written and produced by me, Tim Woolworth. The audio engineering and bespoke music made for this episode are from my fellow explorer of the unknown, Joshua Sean of Zero G ITC. We would like to thank you once more for your support. It really does mean a lot to us, and we look forward to bringing you much more content in the coming months and years. This bonus episode would not have been possible without your patronage. Hopefully this episode made a little bit of our paranormal world more normal for you. As always, if you have any personal anecdotes, observations, or alternate explanations you would like to share on this or any other topic we've covered, or just maybe you would like to drop us a note to tell us about a weird experience that you've had, you can always reach us via our email, contact@walkintheshadows.com. Once again, that's contact, spelled contact, @walkintheshadows.com. If you are so inclined after listening, please subscribe and review our free podcast. And please, tell a friend and share our content on social media. It really does help us keep going. Most importantly, thank you for your time spent walking in the shadows with me. I know your time is valuable, so I really appreciate you being here in this moment. Until the next episode, may you and yours be healthy, prosperous, and treated with kindness by everyone and everything you meet, both in the light and in the shadows.